Welcome to the Love Yourself Healthy Podcast. I am Melanie Lillis. I'm a mind-body health coach, a nutritional therapist, and I have my Bachelor of Physical and Health Education. Throughout this podcast, we are going to be diving into the realm of eating psychology, body image, self-love, and creating a healthy and happy mind. I cannot wait to share my knowledge with you in hope that it will positively influence your life. It has been far too long in between podcasts. My biggest apologies for those of you who do listen weekly to my podcast. I am back and I am back with a good episode. Now, if you're wondering why did it take me so long to record my next podcast, if you don't follow me on my socials, I'm going to pretty much update you throughout this entire podcast. But long story short, I will get into it. I have been asked to train for a world title in a team who had a member who unfortunately wasn't able to make it and had to pull out. So they needed to find someone who had experience in the sport and who had been to a world title who could jump in and take one for the team. So that was me, and I'm really excited about it. I'm going to get into all of that today. I'm going to talk about how my mindset has changed, because the last time I competed in this sport was 6 years ago, and I had a severe eating disorder, and I went about the entire competition time and worlds training really negatively. And I guess wanted to talk about how my mindset has changed now, being 6 years on and having a mindset that I have now of positivity and gratitude, how it's changed and how I'm tackling having to train really hard and eat, you know, super clean. So I'm going to go through all of that with you guys. But first, I need to do my listener review. And this review literally brought a tear to my eye. It's so beautiful. It says, I stumbled across your podcast because I've been searching for help to recover from binge eating and bulimia. Unfortunately, I'm from the United States. I live in California and I've spent the last 2 months calling different facilities every week, and they've all turned me down, mostly for insurance purposes. I have been going to therapy, but she does not specialize in eating disorders. So I've been searching for that extra help to regulate my eating and acting around food. I just want to say your podcast really spoke to me. It's the first podcast show that I have actually listened to every single episode. I've listened to other shows that talk about self-help and eating disorders, but yours has been the most helpful. I put on your show in the mornings, even when I wake up feeling bad. Listening to your advice has helped my outlook and really given me hope that one day I can fully recover. I don't know why your show hasn't blown up. The information is so qualitative, and every time I listen, I feel like I'm taking advice from my friend. Thank you for doing this. It has truly sparked a light of hope in me, and I hope someday I do recover. Much love from Los Angeles. P.S. Love the fact that you're from Australia. I shared this feedback on my Insta story, and I hid the person's name because I don't know if they want me to be sharing their name around, because it is a very sensitive piece of information that they shared with me. But it's literally all I want in life is to help those who are struggling with what I struggled with and other disorders that are similar or negative mindset. I believe that changing the way we think and feel about ourselves and changing the way that we view everything that we go through, whether it is body image issues, whether it is a new career change or moving to a new country, whatever the situation is, if we have the groundwork put in, if we do the work to help support the hard times and to help really shift our subconscious mind from being negative into positive, that is the best way to live. It's the best way to live. We need to create those tools though. It's not something that just comes naturally. No one's born with the natural tools to know how to get through hard times. It's all experience, it's all learning, and it's learning from other people as well. I heard something on a podcast the other day, I can't remember who said it, but they said something like, if you want to be a gymnast, you need to go to training, you need to learn the rules of the sport, you need to learn the technique of the sport, you need to learn the skills. But when it comes to our brain, the one thing that we are in complete control of, no one else is in control of our brain, only us. When it comes to our mind and our emotions, there's no manual for that. There's no training for that. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching people about self-love practices and meditation and, you know, doing things that make you feel good and understanding your body's symptoms. And I think it's one of the biggest things that we do need a manual on. We need help to understand our emotions. Unfortunately, it's not instinctive anymore. We don't live in that age where we could just live off instinct. There's so many other things to worry about. There's so much going on in this day and age. And, you know, the world has evolved and our brains haven't been able to catch up to that. So doing the groundwork and having those tools in place to really help throughout those hard times is so important. And that's a really great segue into what I want to talk about today, which is how I have gone from being severely bulimic when training for a world title to now having massive body love and a positive mindset whilst also training for the same competition, that world title. Now, if you don't follow me on socials, then you won't know what sport I'm talking about. And it is the best sport in the world, also the most hilarious to watch. And a lot of people do not get it unless you do it. And it's sport aerobics. So I was a gymnast my whole life. When I say whole life, that's such a lie. I was a gymnast until I was 15. But I started at 3 years old. So it feels like a very long time. And at the age of 15, I then also started doing sport aerobics. And I absolutely fell in love. It's a blend of like high impact kind of dance, kind of gymnastics and American style cheerleading. It's kind of blended all together. You get judged on your fitness, your strength and your flexibility. You put together like a 2 minute routine, working at your highest intensity you can. So anaerobic fitness needs to be really, really good. Plyometric training is massive. And yeah, I've competed in 4 world titles, placed 2nd in 1, 3rd in 1, 4th in 1. And I am now going again. So I want to rewind all the way back in the day. I'm sure most of you have heard my eating disorder story, but yeah, I really struggled with body image. I really, really struggled with body image. And I used to think that it was just because I didn't like the look of my body, but that really wasn't it. I've briefly touched on this before, but when I was 15, I was in an abusive relationship. And that relationship really made me feel not worthy and as if there was something wrong with me and almost like, not that I deserved what I went through, but because he was abusing me, it almost made me feel like, well, he wouldn't be abusing me for no reason. What is wrong with me to, you know, project out to someone that makes them want to then abuse me? What's wrong with me, you know? And even though on the outside I had a lot of confidence and I'm still a very external person, but I am an introvert. I recharge on my own. I get my energy back on my own. I don't get my energy through people. So I am very much an introvert, even though it looks like I'm an extrovert on the outside. I'm very loud and very confident, I guess. So I never struggled with confidence, but I struggled with value and worth for my body and worth for myself. And I did have a lot of a victim mentality. Why me? Why did that happen to me? How would my life be different if that didn't happen to me? You know, what's wrong with me and all the rest of it. So then when it came to being an elite athlete and training for world titles, there were some of the girls in my team who were pressured to lose weight because as an elite athlete, the lighter you are, and it wasn't because they thought they were ugly, like as in our coach wasn't like, well, you don't look good, you know, you're ugly and this and that, you're not, you know, worthy. It was more so the lighter you are, the easier the routine is going to be to get through. And yeah, that was pretty much it. So they got weighed and we never got weighed. We meaning the younger girls in the team. There wasn't that emphasis placed on us because we were all quite naturally small, but just seeing other people get weighed and knowing that we were going to get judged on our appearance and knowing that as an elite athlete, there's a stigma to that of how you should look. And I'd never thought that I looked like an athlete. Back in the day, I didn't think my body shape looked like an athlete. I was still kind of curvy with a bigger butt. you know, it wasn't massive, but I had curves and I had a flat stomach, but I didn't have abs, you know. And yeah, there was a lot of stigma placed around what does an elite athlete look like? And I felt a lot of pressure from that. Not only that, but I was going out a lot at the time and the people, the girls in the clubs that would get a lot of the attention were stick thin. They were stick thin. And they were the coolest girls, and they were like, they were, well, you know, they appealed really cool, and they always wore really cool outfits. And, you know, I just looked at them and I thought, I want to look like that. And then I also then had that pressure from my training, like, I need to look like an athlete. And all of those thoughts and visuals and just observations, I guess, that I was taking in, it re-sparked the suppressed emotions that I had felt from that past relationship, because I never went and got therapy for the abuse. I just played it off as if I was absolutely fine, and I felt like I was. I was like, no, it's good, whatever. Yeah, I got abused a lot, but I'm over it. And I guess because I was so young, I was only 15, I just was resilient back then. But now I know I just suppressed and pushed down all of those emotions, and being in the team and having the body pressure, it re-sparked those emotions of not being worthy and not being good enough. And even though no pressure was put on me to lose weight, I still felt like I could be better. I could look better. And this very quickly turned into a pretty severe eating disorder. It started off that I just wanted to lose weight. And then I would restrict, and because I had knew nothing about nutrition, I would restrict to the point where I was very malnutritioned. I wasn't getting, you know, a good amount of macronutrients. And so then, you know, my body was signaling to eat, and I gave into those signals and I vomited. And then I realized, this is great. I can eat whatever I want, and then I can just vomit it right up. Little did I know, I mean, you'd think that you would know, but I honestly didn't even think about it, that how much of an effect that would have on me as an athlete. And I honestly think that I did pretty good at hiding it. I hid a lot, you know. I don't know why. I'm still trying to work out why I hide a lot of emotion. These days I'm very verbal because I know it's really healthy, but I didn't tell anyone about the abuse. I didn't tell anyone about the eating disorder. I didn't want the attention, and I felt embarrassed, and I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't trust that people would understand, but I just didn't. And I think a lot of it was because I just didn't want to feel judged by people. Like, you don't even need to lose weight, Mel, yet you've got an eating disorder. Like, what's wrong with you, you know? And again, that lack of self-worth and like, I'm not good enough. I didn't want people to think there was something wrong with me. So I just hid it. And the longer I had the eating disorder, the worse it got. And the more that I realized that if I stop this eating disorder, I'm going to put on a lot of weight. And that's not what I don't want. Well, I thought I was going to put on a lot of weight. And the whole point of me having this eating disorder was to lose weight. So it was such a catch-22 in my head, because there were so many times where I was like, I just want to be better. But if I stop throwing my food up and actually eat, I'm going to gain so much weight. How am I going to put a leotard on and go on stage and be judged on my body if I'm fat? And it just spiraled out of control, and I did lose control. And I remember saying to myself, I've lost control of my mind. I remember saying that. I was like, how do I regain control? Like, I have no control over what I'm doing at all. I just lose control. And it's funny now, because as I said at the beginning, we're the only ones who have control of our mind. We have complete control over how we feel, how we think, how we act, what we do. Only we have control. And yes, of course, we get influenced by external factors. But at the end of the day, we are the only ones in control. And it took a lot of time for me to understand that, because I never even thought I could take control over it. And it wasn't until I got really sick from this eating disorder physically, and I couldn't continue a normal living life without being in pain or being sick, that I realized, oh God, I need to do something about it. I really need to do something about it. I was letting my team down. I was letting myself down. And as I've spoken about before in my podcast, I went on to study nutrition, and I studied mind-body psychology and learned so much about the mind and gratitude and perspective and how past experiences have an impact on everything that we do. Even if it's not that big of a thing that you go through, it still has or affects you in some way. And you might not even realize it, but you might have certain personality traits that are only there because of one event that happened. Like, I only realized the other week, like this is just recent, that anytime an older man walks past me, my whole body tenses up and I feel anger. And my immediate thought is that they're looking at me sexually. And I was never sexually abused, but when I was younger, there was 4 different events where older men exposed themselves to me. And it's funny I'm talking about this because it came up today. I did a workshop. I spoke at a yoga workshop and did a little talking event, which was really amazing. And it came to me when I was speaking about personality and how past experience come up. And yeah, I only realized it the other day that these men exposed themselves to me on 4 different occasions. I didn't know them. 2 different occasions, I was on a train and these two men at different times, as I said, pulled their private parts out and started to play with themselves whilst looking at me. And another time when I was in primary school, this truck pulled up to the school at the back oval. This guy was just sitting in his car naked, touching himself whilst looking at all us kids. And me and a few other friends saw it. And then when I was younger as well, this guy called our house phone, and because I used to have to answer the phone saying, "Hello, Melanie speaking, who is it?" And I guess he saved our number or whatever it was. I don't know who it was. And he would only ever stay on the phone if I answered. Like if my mum answered, he would like hang up. And I remember him asking me what color my undies were and stuff. And I told him because I would have only been like 7. And then I remember my mum looking at me and being like, "Who's that on the phone?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And then I wasn't allowed to answer the phone for a while from then on. Anyway, so because of that, I never realized for ages why I get so tense around older men. Like if a truck driver drives past me and looks down into the car, which happens all the time, truck drivers are gross. Again, they're probably not gross, but in my head, they're gross. My whole body, I go tense and like I quiver because I can't handle them looking at me. And if I'm walking along the Esplanade, having a beautiful walk, and there's like an older guy or an older man coming towards me just to walk past, if I've got a jacket on with the zipper open, I like pull the jacket closed and I don't know, my whole body just closes up. And yeah, I didn't realize, and it's not, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but the times that it does happen, like it happens all the time with the truck drivers, but you know, the times that it does happen, I'm like, why do I do this? Why am I presuming they're looking at me sexually? Like, you know, and it makes me want to cover up, not that I wear anything skimpy, but just say I've got my tights on, my activewear and a tight top, like I feel sexualized. And it's, yeah, and I realized the other day it's because of those experiences that happened when I was a child. My brain created like a chemical pattern, which then got put down into my subconscious. And it's now in the later years manifesting and showing up whenever I find myself in those situations. So yeah, that's something that I found super fascinating. But the point of me saying this is that I had to do a lot of work around my mindset and around picking apart the parts of me that I knew were only there because of my past experiences. And what I mean by that is I have developed personality traits. I have developed different ways of being because of trauma that I've been through or bad experiences that I've had. And I let those define a lot of what I do. Well, I used to let them define a lot of what I do, think, said, feel. And yeah, I had to do a lot of work around understanding and being able to separate what ones were necessary and what ones were causing a lot of damage. Because obviously we need to have protective mechanisms within our body. But sometimes there are certain things that we have in our personality or in our reactions, which just cause unnecessary toxicity within our body and within our mind, right? So I want to chat about how my mindset is now, because someone said to me the other day, "Are you afraid that training for this world title, having to eat cleaner, train harder, is going to trigger your eating disorder?" Now, if I was disconnected with my emotions, my feelings, my past, if I didn't understand how the mind worked, not that I understand how the mind works completely, it's so fascinating, but you know, on a surface level, I feel like I know quite a lot about, you know, how the mind works and why it does what it does. If I did not know all of that and did all that work, then yeah, I 100% think it would have triggered again those suppressed emotions and I would have had an eating disorder again. because of the pressure being in a leotard, having to cut weight. Not that I have to cut weight, but I have done so much work to get to where I am today. And I feel blessed that I get the privilege to experience competing at a world title again with the mindset that I have. I'm so happy and I feel so fortunate that I can do this experience again the way I want to do it, the proper way, without all the bullshit. So, yes, my training has increased intensely. I'm training for a world title. It's got to. Yes, my diet has become much cleaner. Not that I didn't eat clean before. I love healthy food and I always have been a clean eater, but I snack so much. Like, I love snacking. Like, it's just, I eat so much food. But I do a lot of unnecessary snacking. And when I'm not in training, I don't care. But now I have decided to cut out that snacking so that I can feel as fit and healthy as I can be in the lead up to Worlds. Now, because my team live in Newcastle, I'm training up there Friday and Saturday, and then every Monday we're meeting in Gosford, which is halfway, and then I'm doing my own training throughout the week. I also play netball, I also work a full-time job, and I'm also trying to do this. So the biggest thing for me is making sure that I manage my time well. And this is something that I feel like will only be my biggest struggle. My mindset is good. My mindset is really positive, and that's because of the work that I've done. But what I need to do is make sure I don't burn out, and what I need to do is make sure that I'm still setting aside time for me, because that is the most important part. And if I stop that, then I'm going to have issues. And it's not going to be like eating disorder issues, but it's going to be stress issues. I am going to affect my mood. I won't be a nice person to be around, and that's not something that I want to be. So the biggest thing for me in terms of mindset is making sure that I schedule that time for me to do my gratitude, to go for my morning walk, to have a bath, to do some journaling, whatever it may be, whatever I need on that day, I just schedule that. And sometimes, honestly, I know this is going to be really bad, but sometimes it's just watching Netflix, because when I watch Netflix, I can just zone out. And that's something that I think people demonize, is like, don't watch TV, make sure you're doing this, make sure you're doing that. But when you're doing self-love practices, although I love them because you're focusing on you, sometimes you need something which it just allows you to completely switch off. Like, just a little bit of numbness so that your brain just kind of stops thinking. And that's something that I do need to do. I watch one episode or whatever show every night and I love it. If I have a bath on, I've always got Netflix on in the bath. That's like my favorite thing to do. So in terms of training, as I said before, I'm training about 6 days a week. And because aerobics is high intensity, I'm doing a lot of plyometric training, a lot of high intensity interval training, maybe only about one strength session a week. Plus I'm doing a lot of routine run throughs. So my training is very much cardio based, I guess, because I need to get as fit as I possibly can get with now only 4 weeks left until the competition. So yeah, I've got a little bit to go still, but I'm feeling really, really positive and I'm loving the training. I think when you have a goal to work towards, oh man, it's so much more rewarding, and my whole mindset is so focused right now. I've never felt this kind of focus before. And I think because it's only has to be a short amount of focus. When I found out, it was only 2 weeks ago. So I was like, okay, you've got 6 weeks to be worlds ready. Just do it. Just get it done. Do the best that you can get done, you know? And it's so much fun. And the same thing with my eating, because I know it's only short term. I'm just really enjoying fueling myself really well, and the restriction isn't that hard, because I'm not restricting in terms of you can't eat certain foods. I'm just making sure I'm not mindlessly snacking. And one strategy that I'm using to lean up just a tiny bit, again, my body is perfect the way it is, but as an elite athlete and being stage ready, I just want to get a little bit leaner. And this is only for the next 4 weeks. And I'm using this specific tactic using my circadian rhythm. So if you listened to my last podcast, I talked about meal timing and how we could eat a 200 calorie meal for lunchtime. If we eat that same 200 calorie meal for dinner, we are not going to metabolize or calorie burn it the same way, because in nighttime, our body is getting ready for rest and our metabolism and calorie burning capacity drops down. So I've been trying to eat my dinner around 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then that gives my body a good amount of time to digest. And by the time I go to bed, I have a cup of tea, whatever I need to do, and then go to bed. And that's really helping my digestive system feel nice and not overloaded. I tend to eat my biggest meals at dinner time, and I know that's bad, but I like to do it anyway. And that's, that's just a choice. I'm aware of it. I know. But yeah, just being able to shift the time that I eat. It's also cutting out any afternoon mindless snacking. So that's just a strategy that I am using in the lead up to the next 4 weeks. So lastly, I want to talk about gratitude, because gratitude is the most important thing in the entire world, I believe. And this is one thing that I'm really focusing on in the next 4 weeks. I feel so grateful, as I said before, to have the opportunity to redo my world's experience again and redo it properly. And instead of being focused so much on how my body looks, it's like the eating. I'm not eating for a physique. I am eating to be as fit as I possibly can. To be as fit as I possibly can, I need to eat clean. I need to have a good macronutrient balance. I need to have a high diversity of plant foods. And this for me makes me really, really excited, because I'm so grateful that I'm 29. I retired from this sport 6 years ago, and within 6 weeks, I'm back on that stage. Like, what? That's awesome. That's so much fun. I'm grateful for my team that I get to experience this with. It's a completely different bunch of girls and a boy that I've never trained with before, and that's so much fun. But I think even if you're not training for a world title, I believe that training for any type of fitness journey or just exercising, you need to really think about what you're grateful for. Feeling grateful just to have the opportunity to train and to move your body is something that I think a lot of us take for granted. And I always talk about M. Carey, but I just can't get over the post that she made not long ago, how she said that, she wished that the universe gave her a sign before her accident. And if you don't know the story, I'm not going to go into it. I tell it all the time, but she had a skydiving accident and she's paralyzed. She can still walk, but she has no feeling from the waist down. It's very, very surreal. And she's so grateful for everything that, for the fact that she is still able to walk, but everything can change in a split second. And we spend so much of our energy focusing in and being zoomed in on things that really don't matter. We focus in on cellulite, we focus in on stretch marks, we focus in on things that nobody else notices. The shape of our hips or the length of our arms or the little skin rash that we might, whatever it is, I don't know what people are worrying about these days, but we are so zoomed in that we forget to appreciate the journey. This past year for me has flown by, and I try so hard to really be in the now and be present, but even for me, like, life gets in the way and things get in the way, and if you're not truly happy in everything you're doing, sometimes you can zone out and just numb out and life just goes by, and the next minute I'm going to be 30 soon. And that's a beautiful thing, but the last 10 years of my life, since I was 20, was such a roller coaster. It's only been the last few years that I've really enjoyed them. Even back in the day when I was training for the world title, although I loved every minute of being on that stage, the journey to get there was so rough. And I just wish that I had have really enjoyed every single moment and been grateful for all that my body was allowing me to do, and I wasn't. Instead, I was scrutinizing it and I was unhappy and I had negative self-talk. And if you do suffer from negative self-talk or poor body image or whatever it might be, I just want you to know that switching from having a negative mindset to a positive mindset isn't an overnight thing. You've got to put in the work. And it's like I was saying before, if you want to be a gymnast, you have to train to be a gymnast. If you want to have a positive mindset, you need to train to have a positive mindset. You need to change and retrain the subconscious thoughts that are naturally being fed to you. And the only reason you have those natural, toxic, negative thoughts is because you tell yourself them day in, day out. You need to change the internal dialogue in your brain from negative to positive. And the best way I like to do this is through self-affirmations, positive affirmations. So writing down things that you want to feel and not things that you will do. For example, I will be happy in my body. I will be confident. Don't write things like that. Write, I am confident. I do have a positive body image. Whatever it is, you need to tell yourself that and you need to believe it. The more you believe it, the more it will come to you. It's like the law of attraction, manifestation. Manifest positivity in your life and train your brain to deliver that to you each day. It doesn't happen overnight. You need to put in the work. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast, lovely people. I know I enjoyed making it. I enjoyed being back behind the microphone, and I'll see you all in the next podcast. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. I would be so grateful if you could share this podcast and leave it a review. And be sure to follow me on my Instagram at BearXBrave. If you need to contact me, you can do so at hello@bearxbrave.com. Speak to you in the next podcast.